I don't help. I don't take resources to Guatemala so I can be like, yeah, you know, I have a nonprofit and I know. Like, and I've said it before, like, I can have a nonprofit and I could just not have my name on it or anything ever, even though I, like, talk so much. Like, I don't care. My name does not need to be named as long as that kid has food on his fucking table.
When he was like, and I'm like just remembering, I'm not quoting verbatim or anything, but it sounded like he was saying that he doesn't like that term. He thinks that term is more for like queer LGBTQ people to feel more involved. He doesn't like it because it associates with the colonizers, the Latin part, instead of with the indigenous peoples. And that little answer like blew a hole in my mind, because I was thinking about elementary school and how we learn about, you know, that a-hole Christopher Columbus and then, you know, the Native Americans, but you really didn't learn that much about like Mexico other than you know, the freaking Alamo, which doesn't mean anything to me. It feels like it means more to Texans and whatever, but when you think about indigenous peoples in like Mexico and South America, like I feel like for me at least, like I associate it with the Spanish, like that's where they came from. I don't think about the people that were already there, just like in America. And I was like, what the, why would I think that? Why would I ever think that there weren't people there before? Of course there were. And so when you're thinking about even for Cinco de Mayo that just happened, and you're thinking about the people that were fighting the French, and like, who were those people? Like, are you thinking about them as the Spanish that colonized that area? Or were you thinking about them, the indigenous people that were like, not another one. Like, get the fuck out of our land. Like, but I was thinking about, okay, like, Latinx. Like, how do I associate myself? Like, I did my little DNA test, and I'm, you know, 14% Native American. What does that mean to me? And it's, you know, a lot of it is in Baja California. And, but, you know, do I, and then I also thought about the fact that, like, only 3% of that was, like, Spanish. So I'm like, okay, well, then the majority of it is indigenous peoples. And how come I don't think about them? Why do I always think about, like, the Europeans versus the people that were already here? So that started the whole whirlwind of, like, who am I? What the hell is happening?
Yeah.
It's like the old saying, like, whoever won the war writes the story.
You know? Yeah. So in this case, it's like, and I thought about, I know I was bringing this up with you, Carla. the El Norte that I watched when I was in community college, and that blew my mind at the time.
By the way, I've tried to find that movie, and it's hard to like fucking find it.
Really?
El Norte?
I have a login that might be able to find it, actually. I'll look.
Yeah.
I have the university like database, and I feel like it would be in there.
Yeah. Okay.
It is like the saddest movie, but really I sad. Feel like everyone needs to freaking find it.
I was, I don't know when it was. When was it? Oh, when I went to Guatemala, because you told me right before I went to Guatemala. And I remember there was nights when, like, Kayla and I, like, we had nothing to do. We just stayed in our Airbnb. And I'm like, I need to watch this movie. Because, like, Natalie hyped it up. Like, I need to watch it. Like, I need to see it. And then we never got to it. And, like, I was trying, you know, and it was just like, I couldn't find it. Like, either you had to purchase it or something like that. And I'm like, no, I'll purchase it later or whatever. You know,
like, I probably should purchase this because I need to make everyone else watch it.
I know.
That whole post that I saw got me thinking about El Norte and the fact that I remember being like 20 years old and watching this movie in my English class, and it's about these basically the genocide that was happening in Guatemala at the time from the government. Like, they were literally the Mayans.
Yeah.
And so there's a brother and sister, and they're like, well, shit, we don't want to die. So they decide to go live a better life in America. So they need to contact a coyote, and then they need to cross the border. So I remember watching it and hearing the coyote talk to them, and they're like, okay, well, you have to speak Spanish. And then I was thinking, I was like, oh, what? Like, they don't already know they don't always speak Spanish? Because I remember the first part of the movie, like, they're literally speaking Mayan. Like, they're, like, I didn't know what they were saying.
Yeah.
And the coyote was telling them, like, you have to speak like a Mexican. Like, they can't know that you're native or anything. You have to, like, swear a lot and this whole thing. And then I was like, oh, there's racism in Mexico? Like, what? How is that way? And so they go through and they're passing the border. And then it goes on to, like, their whole life in America and, like, that also made me think differently of, you know, the guys that you see at the Home Depot, like, hanging out, waiting for a job. Like, that is a lot of times all that they'll ever be able to do. Like, they will never be able to move up because they're illegal and...
Sucks.
Oh, my God. But the whole part about the natives being murdered was crazy to me because I was like, but the Guatemalans, like, you think that that's... Those people that have always been there, why would they be a genocide for your own people?
Yeah.
But it was as if, you know, they didn't belong. And I think the genocide ended in, like, what did I say? Like, the 90s or something? 80s
yeah.
or 90s? Like, 90s, 96?
Or something?
Don't
I know, yeah. 90
something.
That.
But it was devastating. It was so crazy that happened. But, I mean, and I didn't really think about it further beyond that really, really depressing movie that everyone should freaking watch, but because it is very, like, significant even today.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to watch it.
It's like a piece of lost history, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even thinking about, like, my heritage from my Indigenous people's roots, like, I don't even know where to look. Like, what does that mean? And I tried to Google a little bit, but even that, I mean, it's been so devastated from, you know, hundreds of years of being massacred by the colonizers. It's just all diluted, or whole tribes were just completely wiped out. Like,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't even find someone living that is related to you.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. But I wondered, like, okay, well, if you're thinking more of an Indigenous person, and I've also thought about that as a young person, like, okay, well, when I'm applying to college or when I'm filling out a form, like, what do I say? And I never felt like I could say that I'm a Native American because I didn't know anybody and I never was part of, like, any rituals, or I didn't know anything about that. I respected it, but I felt like it would be disrespectful to them to say, oh yeah, I'm one of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the dis. And I knew so, and I think it was because I knew so many white people that
yeah.
were like, yeah, like, I'm like a 3% Cherokee. Like, nothing to check that box. And I went and got it certified, which I was like, who the fuck certified you? Did some, like, tribal chief in an office just be like, yeah, sure, you're native. I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That was my long story.
It was a good story, though.
It really was. I'm like, wow.
It's like, wow.
She got going. She
yeah.
got going.
I'm like, press record, press
I
record.
I know.
I know. We hadn't even press record. I'm like, R.
I was like, R.
Look, you guys, watch this movie.
Well, really quick, because I have a couple things to say, because I'm reading an article here, and it's not necessarily on the same activist. It does list a bunch of other activists that are speaking about the term and the same idea that you were stating, and I think it's really interesting. But before I go into that, I just want to introduce everybody. So... hello, Latinx Nation. Welcome. we started a little things opposite today, but it's all right. Whatever. You know, genuine conversation. I love it.
Exactly.
We're a little late on the episode this week. You know, times are hard sometimes, and
yeah.
we got to take a breather for ourselves so we can give you guys good content, and
exactly.
we're able to, like, provide our passion and our heart and our perspectives, because everything we talk about is very... it's not just like, oh, this is how things work. No, it's very...
It's how we view
yeah.
things.
It's opinions, it's perspectives,
mm-hmm.
it's different minds being, like, sharing, and that's what it's about.
And we're open
yeah.
to other people's
yeah.
perspectives, you know? We want people to put in their input.
Exactly. So, my name is Carla.
I'm Sal.
I'm
Melanie.
And then the Natalies. we've had them on the episode before. They're really good friends of ours, so we thought... Let's sit down and chat again, have some beers, have some wine, some hot Cheetos, of course, and talk about some interesting things and have a educational conversation.
Yeah. Let's be scholars.
A dialogue. There you go. And so today we're just going to talk about this activist that the Natalie's found on Instagram. And as you guys heard before, she was explaining how she found him. And it's a... So sorry, I'm going to mispronounce it. Do you want to pronounce it? You probably have more of a...
I've been trying to Google how to pronounce it correctly, but it's Hatepa Clearbear. So yeah. I'm just going
to... I would have...
I'm going to keep it at that, and I'm going to apologize if they reach out to us.
I know, right? So, Clearbear, I'm going to go by Clearbear because the first name is really hard for me to pronounce. Right. But Clearbear, he's an indigenous rights and creative residing in Comba territory. So he's just an activist, educator. He's a model. He's a twin brother as well. go on his Instagram. It's _ Coyotel, Coyotl _. I think that's what it is.
Yes.
Coyotl. Go find him on Instagram. I mean, he has some really good stuff and a lot of great, informative stuff talking about indigenous roots, terminology, which we're going to talk about today, about the term Latinx and what there's different perspectives about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. But on going on with what Natalie said, I was reading an article and it's on NBC News. I just found it on Google. I just wanted to see if I can get some more background behind it. They're talking about the Latinx term and some activist, his name is Moro Cruzmo Sanchez, and he's from Stocktown, California. He states that the term Latinx is a very, he doesn't use it, it doesn't make sense to him, because the Latin community is already facing so many struggles,
mm-hmm.
and has faced so many struggles and continues, and I feel like it will always be continuing on facing struggles. We're facing, our death rates are, housing, financial, educational, rates are just, they're not compared to, anybody here in America and, Caucasian or, that was... that has that white privilege behind them. And so he says, why should the term Latinx be a thing that we should be so focused on, so driven by it when we have other things to worry about, when we have other things to go battle and fight for and get back what's ours as indigenous people. And so, that's kind of the little I got. But even then he goes a little bit on Latina and Latino, how it's just such a colonist term in general.
Yeah.
Because what were we before? What were our people before? And I think about it, my family is, I think my grandma's side is Mayan. But then my dad's side, not my grandma, my great-grandmother. And she's Mayan, but then, my great-grandfather is Spaniard. So it's so what am I? Am I, Mayan? Am I a Spaniard? Am I, what slot do I fit in?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I feel like that's a question that, a lot of people with the same situation, whether they're Mexican like me or they're Salvadoran like Melanie or, you, where you have Salvadoran and Guatemalan and
there's so many.
Figure out where do you fit in the whole mix? Because we're, at the end of the day, we're all mixed. And it's what can you identify more?
Yeah.
In yourself, it's hard. It's hard to clarify yourself, and you're essentially labeling yourself.
But do we have to pick and choose which one we hold above others?
Exactly.
The idea was that we're overlooking our indigenous group. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been doing that my whole life, and so when I thought about this, when I saw. And I thought of Carla because she's Guatemalan, and I wanted to know how does she see herself? How does she see her indigenous groups? I feel because you said your great grandmother's
mine. Yeah.
You have that attachment, like, right there. I don't have anybody that I knew or anything that.
And so then it just, like, it, I don't know, it, I have a friend, she lives back in Utah, and, I mean, she has, I believe, Scottish in her, but, like, in her ancestral, but she is, like, she's white, like, oh my gosh, she is, like, I love her, she's, like, one of my best friends, but she'll say things like, there's gonna get to a point where it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're, if you have Mayan roots, if you have Aztec roots, Incas, all these, like, tribal, like, you know, or here in America, like, a lot of the, like, you have, like, Navajos, you have, like, you know, a lot of these, like, in, like, indigenous tribes that are still living.
At least to the American continents, you know.
Yes, yeah. So it's, like, there's going to get to a point where it's not going to matter. But it's, like, to me personally, to think that, it's, like, no, like, if I were to ever have kids, like, I want them to know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, are we causing more pain in our culture by saying, no, we are Latinas, we are Latinx, we are Latinos?
Like, are we being negligent?
Yeah. Or are we doing something?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really, are we fighting for something that really doesn't matter? And are we fighting for the wrong thing? Are we fighting for, like, instead of fighting for that, should we be fighting for better educational system for our younger generations, you know, or health systems, you know, like, I mean, who's going to get better health treatment compared to, like, somebody that lives up in the Beverly Hills area to, like, somebody here? Like, so what are we, like, is it bad that we're fighting for this? Is it, like, or that, not fighting, but we're being, like, activists in a sense for it?
It's one part against racism.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's true. I think it's just standing up for that, you know, and really having that. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's funny because Dwayne, he's a, is it, it's a resident and then citizen, right?
Yes.
Okay. So he's a resident. And when voting season came along, I'm like, babe, are you going to vote? And he's like, I can't because I'm not a citizen yet. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you need to get that going, you know? And he's like, and he'll make jokes, like, he'll, like, I'm waiting for you to marry me and all this. Like, oh, you don't need that. You don't need that. But he finally said it. He's like, no, because if I'm a citizen, then I have to say that I'm American. And I'm like, no, you don't. And he's like, yeah, I do. And I'm like, no, you don't. Like, you live here. Yeah, like, you got your paperwork. You're, this is, like, now your home in a sense. Like, but you're Belizean, like,
yeah.
Like, you're, what is, there's a term for indigenous people in Belize. Oh my god, I'm gonna.
You don't have to ask him or Google it.
I know it, but I always forget the name. Indigenous, what, something sexy you said? It's true.
Sorry.
let's see. What is the name? Garifuna. Like, he had, like, Garifuna, he is, I think his grandma is Garifuna, and his, like, his, yeah, let's see, his, almost everybody on his dad's side and his mom's side are Garifuna, which are indigenous people in Belize. So, in a sense, he is Garifuna, because he was born out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm like, no, you are Garifuna, you are Belizean, like, you are, that is your, and I like to make the joke that he's really Guatemalan. Because it was Guatemala before he came to Belize. And he hates it. Yeah, he absolutely hates that. He's like, no, I'm not. And I'm like, okay. And then they'll have the, okay, no, never mind, that's inappropriate.
Wow.
All
right. I already know where you're going. It's happened in the bed.
Yeah, they'll say some silly stuff, but
then he's a perfect example of feeling like, you know, when he becomes a citizen, that he's just gonna have to assimilate to, you know, the American title, the lifestyle. And I mean, he's lucky that he can choose. He will be an American citizen, but he will still be a Belizean. He will still have his Native heritage as well. He doesn't have to get rid of that. He gets to keep that.
Yeah.
But there were plenty of indigenous people who didn't get that choice, who had to assimilate if they wanted to live. And that, and that's, I feel, the sad part is, like, just because your friend said, like, you know, it eventually won't matter, it does matter. If you're, like, part of my heritage is Scottish, I could give two shit. Like, I mean, they're fine. The Scottish weren't oppressed by anybody, I'm sure, other than the British or whatever.
Yeah.
But there were plenty of indigenous peoples that were
tragic.
Were oppressed, were raped, were pillaged, were basically destroyed and taken over by colonizers.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just devastating. Like, I don't think that we should do that. And I feel like knowing what I know now, or the very little speck of information, like, I wanna be able to respect my indigenous heritage. Like, I wanna know more about it.
Yeah.
And maybe I can incorporate more of that history into my own life. Just erase it because I don't know about it, or I don't know anybody, you know, related to me that would know about that. And I think that's where this whole thing started.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it also gives, like, appreciation and value back to the indigenous communities that survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, without them, we probably wouldn't have even an inkling of an understanding of who we are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, it's beautiful to see these indigenous, like, what there is out of certain tribes. Like, and I mean, I've only seen my Mayan roots when I went to Guatemala. It was funny because before I went to Guatemala this past year, I said, I want three goals. I want to reach, because I'll try to, like, set myself up on, like, this is what I expect from this trip. You know, if I don't get it, it's fine. It is what it is. I mean, I still enjoyed a beautiful trip. But there's certain things that I always expect from my trips. And this trip, I was like, all right, my three goals are, one, I want to talk to a Mayan woman, an indigenous Mayan woman. And I want to be able to know how they live, how they're growing, how are they adapting, you know, to not only how things are adapting here in the United States, how our ancestors and our parents have had to adapt, but how she is adapting in a country that as well is growing. As you were saying earlier, you know, they went through, like, genocide, they went through a shithole of things. Like, Guatemala and El Salvador has, and a lot of the Central American countries, they have gone through some shit where it's like, as simple as, like, the Americans, you know, going in and doing tests, like, scientific testing on Guatemalans, taking over a lot of the government in, like, El Salvador, like, shit like that. So it's like, you know, they've gone through, but it's evolving, and thankfully it's growing and it's getting better. So that was one of my things. I was like, I want to talk to an indigenous woman. I want to be able to speak and just have, like, a sit-down conversation, like, how's your life?
Yeah.
What is, tell me about you, tell me about your roots, tell me about what your goals, and I was able to accomplish that. I was able to stay with one of the women that Kayla really is, like, good friends with. We got to stay with her and just ask her, like, what are her goals? What is her lifestyle like? And yeah, she's had a tough lifestyle, you know, but now, because thankfully the government in Guatemala is growing in a sense for the indigenous women indigenous individuals in general, like, they're being respected in what they believe and what they follow. And it was just really beautiful to see, like, it's such a, like, outstanding indigenous woman to be able to, like, I have this house. I have been able to raise money for it. I am raising my two daughters. I want them to go to college. I want them to work hard, and I want them to be in a beautiful, like, family when they grow up. And just, like, seeing these goals, I'm like, wow, like, you know, they're indigenous, but they're also looking for a better life, not only for themselves, but for their kids.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and then it was, what a coincidence, because that same week, it was actually National Indigenous Women Day, and we were, I know, we were in one of the cities, and there was, like, rallies of a bunch of beautiful women dressed in their indigenous outfits, painting, giving out speeches, like, sharing their like educational material to like a lot of the people that are just walking through the town. And I was like, wow, what a coincidence. Like, what a coincidence. And then my other goal was to like find property and try to like figure things out. That's a whole other goal. Yeah. I found it, but let's just say I don't got the money for it.
Yes.
Yeah. So what was that?
What's the number?
What's the number?
The amount that you would need.
I'm looking at, I think it was the lot of the place. It was like 2 acres. I can't remember the sizes of them, but let's say it was like 2 lots of like what you're, where you guys live. So like 2 houses in a sense can fit in there. We're looking at like $60,000-$80,000, which is great. Which is great. But now it's just finding the measures of how do I get there, you know? Like, okay, I can apply for a loan. I could try to figure out how to, like...
And then when you get it, what do you
do? Exactly. And so there's so many things, like, I would love to, like, do, you know, build a resource center, I don't know, like, a community center, doing stuff like that. I don't know, maybe... I don't think I would make it an Airbnb. I think I would make it more like a tourist area, maybe. I don't know. Just, but
it's Cape Hostel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While they're young.
I know, right?
I know Airbnb.
Yeah, but that is to be determined in the future. Yeah.
I feel like so to bring it back to that article.
Yeah.
Kind of talk about one of the questions. Is how did you find out about your roots and your indigenous history, especially coming from an adoptive home? And I feel like his answer.
This is Clear Bear speaking. He said, when you're young and you see people who look like you, kind of you're kind of just in awe and because you've never been around those people before, you know? So I say probably in my early teens, like when I first got into high school, that's when I really got obsessive about indigenous culture. I wasn't even sure back then what tribe was like, you know? I just thought it was like Spanish or Mexican, right? That's my pop tribe. But it wasn't until I turned 18 I was actually able to meet my biological family. I learned I'm a California native. My ancestors have been here for thousands of years. That's something dear to me. That's something I'm proud of. That's not something I'm going to smooth under the rug for someone's comfortability. Mm. It's 2020, the time to reclaim who you are and proud of.
Yeah.
Oh, am I continuing? Okay. Because of the boarding schools that existed here in the United States and the south of the border, a lot of indigenous people were taught like the bad thing to be native, that it's savage, it's dirty, that they were the heathens, that their ways were bad, and that's just not right. A lot of the groups come in and implement things to strip the native of their culture, cut their hair, beat them until they spoke the language. Physical and sexual abuse was common, and the ideology behind it was, quote, kill the Indian, save the man. So basically we, the Indigenous Alliance Movement, founded by Clear Bear and his twin brother, want people to learn about their history and language. So more or less he wants people to, you know, if you realize that you're native, like, you know, maybe you learn your native language.
Yeah.
Where you come from. Like, respect that's what they say. Respect your history.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. There was, I'm trying to look for it. There was a podcast I listened to a while back, and I think somebody recommended it to me, but it was talking about indigenous roots, and it talked about the Alaskan indigenous people.
The Inuits.
Inuits. Thank you. Thank you. I'm like,
lived in Alaska.
Thank you. The Inuits. Yes. I'm trying to.
It was from something completely different, though.
but I thought that was their podcast, and I'll try to find it so like everybody can know what it is. But the episode really focused on the educational system in, like, that was revolved around these like indigenous areas and how the educational system was pushed on these Inuits and like these indigenous people. And yeah, they were like beaten. They were like forced to like live the lifestyle of what I guess you could say an Alaskan regularly would be, but it's like,
yeah,
what is that, to be honest, right? So it just made me think about that, you know, where, and I think Melanie would have really good input on that, where as an educator, you're going into education, like, how do you see the educational system and how it affected you, and how do you think it's going to affect your children that you're going to be teaching, even though you're going to be teaching, mm-hmm. like, elementary kids, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what is your perspective on that?
I think, like, I think overall, like, the, like, for me, like, personally, I am terrible at history. Like, I'm terrible at history, but, like, I think no matter what, I feel like, our educational system, like, in the past, like, I feel like right now it's trying to grow,
mm-hmm.
but in the past it's just shown, like, one side of it.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know that much about our own history, like, mm-hmm. like we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
like, growing up, I never, like, learned anything about Salvadorian history or,
yeah.
or, in school, but me and Sal were talking about, I say me and Sal because Sal always helps me with my essays.
Sal is graduating as an educator.
Sal should get a credential too.
I'm getting my second bachelor's degree.
I was writing a paper on, I don't know, it was like videos that I was watching. And then it was also from a history class this past semester. And we were talking about how, like, how kids learn about, like, the indigenous people, how they learn about them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, Thanksgiving. They learn about them, like, in kindergarten, they dress up as pilgrims, they do the, like, whole act. Yeah, and that's, they mm-hmm. only learn one side of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They learn about the dinner. They don't learn about the slaughter.
It's so weird that it's still like that. They don't learn about the smallpox blankets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, some things that I learned that, like, what we can do as educators is, like, bringing in, like, books or bringing in actual people that it's, like, authentic. It's authentic yeah. material. You're not going to bring in books from other people that are writing about history that they didn't live through that history. So they,
yeah.
how can they, like, I can't write a book about, I don't know, Mexican history. If I'm not Mexican, obviously.
It's harder if you don't have
it's harder. There's not
foundational.
Exactly. There's not this authenticity to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bringing in, like, material like that, or bringing in different people that can come and talk to, like, classrooms and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's something that I will definitely do, like,
okay.
in my future, like, classroom.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good perspective. I think that's, like, really interesting because, I mean, our education system is not the best, and I think about it, and, I mean, I didn't start knowing about my indigenous roots up until after high school, not even in college. Like, when I went to, like, my first semester in college, my fucking counselor was a terrible bastard. Like, I hate him so much. But when it came to enrolling in classes, I enrolled in a history class. As a freshman, I'm enrolling into a fucking junior, like, year history class, and he didn't say nothing about it. Funny thing is, that's, like, the only class I passed, but...
But wow, did you have to really
focus? Yes, yes. It was really hard. But, yeah, so it was, like, you know, having to take that class, it was, like, even in that, it wasn't anything different than, like, my K through 12 education. It was just, like, all right, this is American history, and this is pretty much how we came to be.
Yep.
And they make it sound so glorified, like, American history.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In order to maintain our capitalistic racist society, we have to continue to only support, publicize, and educate with the white history.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, even in the Common Core standards, like, for one of my classes last year, we went through the standards and, like, everyone kind of did a summary of it, and they're, like, we were talking about how one of the biggest pattern that we see is that it's all American history. Like, it's all very patronized. It's all white people. Like, you're teaching kids about historical figures, and they're all just white people. Like, even in the standards, it shows that.
Yeah, because it's like, growing up, I didn't see any, like, Latina heroes, you know? Yeah. It's like, and, you know,
I feel like these conversations always, whenever I'm talking about, like, education and this, basically, how oppressive it is and what's celebrated, promoted, it always reminds me of what my dad says, and I every time I think about what he said, it blows my mind, because I was like, where are you coming with this from? But he was saying that there's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I don't know if you know about them, but basically offers ridiculous scholarships, and it's like full ride scholarships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a friend of ours has it.
Yeah, and so it typically goes to low income, people of color. You know, we want to support them, and we need more of them, and blah blah blah. But my dad would always say, "That's a farce. That is not what they want, because if that is actually the kind of world that we live in, they're at the disadvantage, because it's not perpetuating capitalistic racist structure that Bill and Melinda Gates are benefiting from."
Yeah.
And that's what they're scared of. That's why they have the lobbyists.
It's white guilt.
It's
white guilt. And
it's white ability.
Yeah.
So scared. They are so terrified to allow any room for anyone else, because if they don't contain it, they might lose out.
Yeah.
Just like small businesses can't get the loans that are available to small businesses right now. Why? Because the bigger corporations have taken them up.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they have that, they're able to.
They have that pool.
Resource. They have that connection.
Yeah.
And if they were to give that connection to you, that's not going to benefit them. They want you to want that connection, but they're not ever going to give you that connection.
Yeah.
It's supply and demand in every sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want people to be like, oh yeah, this is a great thing for our government. You want people to be like, yeah, we have to support like these business loans, like these forgivable subsidized loans for everyone. Like all small businesses, but at the same time, it's like, who's getting it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is getting these loans?
How did everybody get a $1,200 check now when the economy is tanking, and yet people who have been struggling for God knows how long have had to fight and jump through hoop after hoop after hoop to get money to feed their family?
Yeah.
Or anything. I mean, it's when you really learn about it, it's disgusting. But it also, I think, is igniting in why you have to fight for a voice for the indigenous people, and why it's so important to, you know, talk about the things that we talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to think that we're all connected. You know, and in one way or another. And I think that the sense of pridefulness and power hungry people and privilege has been a very strong key that drives this country and a lot of other countries, in a sense. But I mean, obviously, I can only speak for this country, you know, because I live here. But
as far as we know.
And it's sad. It's sad to see that, you know, and it's just sad to see, like, people saying, all right, well, we're all going to be mixed one day or another. Like, and it's like things like that. And like, and that's why it really struck me what you just said, Natalie, about, you know, how is it going to benefit them, or is it not going to benefit them if they do this or not? And yeah, I think about it like white guilt, you know. It's, I had a friend, and I don't want to say names, but a friend that said...
Karen Smith.
I don't know a Karen Smith, I'm just saying.
I'm like, who's that?
No, what was that name that we thought
Carol?
About? Carol.
Carol.
No. Carol.
Yeah, the girl, the white lady from the bar.
We were at, we're getting sidetracked, but yeah. Really quick to make it short.
Yeah.
We were at a wine bar and we were all drinking, and all of a sudden this white middle-aged lady was jumping onto the table dancing with a wine bottle in her hand, and mm-hmm. we're like, "Oh, that's Carol." But I really thought, I'm like, "Wow, you guys know her name." And we left and I'm like, "Bye, Carol." And they were laughing because I'm like, "Why are you laughing?" I'm like, "Her name's not Carol."
But she looked and happened.
But she was so drunk, she was like, "Bye."
Oh man, but yeah. So I had this. I wouldn't say necessarily friend. I guess acquaintance. That works. That has his own business, and there's certain ways that the business works, and. When I was like, we should do this, you know, it would look, not even only look, but it would be really helpful to the indigenous people, to the kids that are having to miss school because they're working on certain areas, you know, that's going to benefit their family. So we should be the ones that kind of, I don't know, like pitch in there and help them, you know, like no kid should be having to work at age 8. To yeah. supply food for their own family, you know, because the parent can't supply enough, or what they're supplying isn't enough for their kids. And yeah. so...
That shouldn't be an option yeah. in the first place.
And so then the term that got tossed around was, if they don't work in the system that we work in, there's no way that we can help them. So that came back to me, and I was like, I got furious about it, because to me it's like, I don't help people so it makes me look right.
Yeah.
I don't take resources to Guatemala so I can be like, yeah, you know, I have a nonprofit and I know. Mm-hmm. Like, and I've said it before, like, I can have a nonprofit and I could just not have my name on it or anything ever, even though I, like, talk so much. Like, I don't care. My name does not need to be named as long as that kid has food on his fucking table. As long as they have the accurate, like, medical attention that they need. Or a shirt on their fucking back. Like, that's all I fucking care about, you know? And so to hear that from a person that is a leader, quote unquote, in the community, I'm like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, it's like you lost the whole purpose of it all. Like, we're not doing this for recognition. I'm about to take these off. we're not doing this for recognition.
Yeah.
What's it called? We're doing this because it's right.
Yeah.
The people that are more privileged than others have the obligation and responsibility to help those that aren't as privileged as themselves. And I say that as privileged as growing up in America, we have a certain privilege that other countries don't have, you know? Yeah. So I feel like as human beings, we have to protect human beings.
Yeah. Yeah, but for it to be something like people to actually be thinking that way blew my mind. It really blew my mind. And I don't know, like, and it going back to our educational system, you know, why are they teaching us these things? To benefit them. Mm-hmm. They think they're benefiting us because we're getting educated. Bitch, no, you're fucking hypnotizing us.
Yeah.
You're brainwashing our fucking brains here, saying that the white man is better than any colored other person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or any...
Well, they're very open to saying, like, you know, educating us and then saying, like, oh, race isn't bad. And yet, like, I remember as a kid learning about, you know, slavery and, you know, Thanksgiving and all of this stuff, and then realizing, like, oh, well, these are white people oppressed darker color. And we're saying it's bad, and yet you're saying it as if it's a good thing. Like, the whole manifest destiny, like, us, you know, conquering the entirety of the United States, like, that was just a destiny. We had to murder a bunch of people. It's better now. I mean, now you live in America. It's fine. Land of the free.
Yeah.
What I never understood as a kid is, you know, us, you know, fighting the Mexicans and, you know, get back California. And I was like, well, it was theirs in the first
place. I know. I was like, what are you getting back at?
My brother actually, when I was younger, brought up a good point. He, like, made this comic when we were in, like, middle school thing. And we were talking about, like, Alamo. And then my mom was like, well, you can relate it to the first Gulf War. You know how, like, I don't remember, but basically, what was it, Iraq invaded Kuwait.
Mm-hmm.
This little tiny pocket country inside of Iraq. And
that, like, well, it's ours. And that's essentially what happened with Alamo. There was like, well, it was just ours. And it's like, well, it's not yours. And we got to go in and fucking fend and stuff. And then, you know, America's like, oh, we can't do that. But it's like, well, you did the same thing. So what's the freaking difference?
Yeah.
You were like, oh, this is ours. It was going to be ours anyway. But it's only when it's your benefit. It's not when it's other people's benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely like, I don't know, it gets me heated.
Yeah, because it doesn't make any sense, you know? Like, we only have to do things if it's going to benefit us. It's like, oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
As long as we're aware of things like that, like, going back to the whole, like, you know, respecting your heritage and being indigenous, like, I don't want people to think that I am not going to acknowledge, like, my colonizer heritage, because it is what it is. Like, my mom's white, like, genetically, like, we own slaves. Like, it fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of my history. Like, I have to own it, hate it, but that's what it is. And I don't want to ignore that. But I do want to celebrate the parts of my history that have, you know, historically been oppressed. I want to bring them to light. And I'm
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
I was going to mention, like, I like how in the article with Clear Bear, he was talking about how we have to look at how we treat our environment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and how it's what connects us to everything. You know, it's Mother Earth. It's who we are. This is what we are because of this planet, you know. And it shows, like, if we can't treat our people right, what does that tell you about how we treat the Earth, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or that's a direct contact.
Yeah. I love that he starts by saying that that's their religion.
Yeah.
That's their what?
That's their religion.
That's their religion.
Yeah.
They worship the Earth because that's where you come from. You're living off of you're surviving off of this Earth, so you have to respect that.
Yeah. There was... Yeah, when I was in Guatemala and we went through the city where the indigenous women were talking, and they had a panel of different leadership indigenous women. It was like 5-6 of them.
Mm-hmm.
We sat and just listened to all of them, and every single one of them, was stating, you know, we live by the land. This is our religion. This is our spirituality. And I mean, this could go down, like, another conversation some other time, but it connects to, like, how slaves, you know, and the people that colonized us were using tactics of that. They thought, okay, they worship the land, so now let's use that towards them. Let's flip it around a little bit, you know. Oh, you need to worship the land, so you need to do this, you know. So in a sense, like tricking their intuition, tricking their ancestral, like, intuition, you know, where it's like the meme that we showed you earlier. What does it says? If you know, what did Gary Vee say?
Oh, do what feels right.
Do what feels right, you know? And I really am a strong believer in, like, really doing what feels right and following your intuition, you know? My ancestors speaking through whatever I'm living in and saying, just do it. Like, that is meant for you. Go get it. And these colonizers, it's like if a colonizer were coming in and be like, that's not what you should do, you know? Like, if you really worship the land, do this. If you
like
really...
They can easily
flip
it
could also
you.
Be reversed, though, because I remember learning that, like, when colonizers came in and said, like, well, we own this land now, that they're like, what are you talking about? There's no land to own. You can't own anything.
Land.
You can't own air. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, well, we... And they didn't have anything in place to say, no, you can't, or here are our laws, like, this is inappropriate.
Yeah.
They had no choice but to have other people and have these rules and guns and all the religion.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think it's, like, I don't know, it's definitely, like, heartbreaking to see that to this day those are things happening. I mean, I was very into church, and... Church kind of fucked me up in a spiritual sense. Like, this is what you need to do. As, like, oh, but let's go do community service. Like, no, that is for the white people. As a Latina, we're doing work here in our church. It's like, excuse me? So it's like, I mean, that pastor that was in that church, to say that to me as a leader, I was like, okay, maybe he's right, you know? Maybe I need to focus here in my home, in my church that I'm in. And so, like, so those tactics till this day are still being used through these, like, structured, like, organized religions.
It's and, just another structure of oppression.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there could be some Christian listeners. It's not
a well, no, well, yeah, and
however, it is a structure of oppression. It yeah. can be used
for sure. Yeah.
It can be used for them, you know.
It did.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, I think about it, you know, I'm not saying, like, okay, you go to church or you read a certain word of wisdom or whatever it is, you know, I mean, like, more power to you, like, but it becomes a problem when you're pushing it on me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's where it's at, you know, like, if I believe that, oh my God, Starbucks, wow, why am I thinking of Starbucks?
What are you thinking about the green giant?
I'm thinking about coffee and Starbucks came to mind. I need a day off. I need a day. Yeah. But frappuccinos. No, but when I'm thinking about, like, okay, like, I love coffee, right? And I live for coffee and I work for coffee. And I, you know, this is what coffee's about. And if, let's say, Dwayne, you know, my partner, like, he doesn't like coffee and he doesn't go for it, like, which he does, thankfully. you know, but if he didn't, like, I can't sit here and be like, I can't date you because you don't like coffee. You know, you need to believe in the same coffee and the same organization, industry, whatever that I believe in. So for us to be together or for us to build something. And so I think putting that in a organized religion or in an organized, like, structure of any spirituality, I think that's when it becomes an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because do I believe the Mayans worship gods? Fuck yeah, they worship gods. Do I believe that they, like, did rituals for tradition and for their lifestyle, for their everyday? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Hell to the yeah.
That's just fact, you know?
Yeah, you know? But now you compare that to the organized religion that we're living in now, it is a very different thing. It is a very different world. Very different world. You know, like, our ancestors, it was funny because one of our regulars, she is studying Garifunas, which are indigenous people from Belize. I think you know her, Natalie. Iris? You know Iris?
Describe her drink.
She gets a, I know, right? She gets a matcha with honey and coconut milk.
Okay, yeah.
She is,
I know, right? She's Iona's friend, one of Iona's friends.
Yes.
Okay, so she's going through grad school right now, and she's doing her studies and her thesis on the people, the Garifuna people. And damn, I lost my thought. What was I wrong with this?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. So she was speaking about how the Garifuna people are, or just indigenous people overall, used a lot of, like, hallucinogens and a lot of, like, herbs, a lot of, like, marijuana, like, nowadays that is very recreational, as things to connect them into a spiritual sense, to connect them into ritual, traditional things. And now we look at mushrooms, we look at marijuana, we look at other hallucinogens, like, whatever. They're terrible. They're awful. And, yes, there is certain things that, like, they're being used for awful things sometimes. Like, you know, people sometimes can't control it. Some people can't. I don't know. There's just so many things to it.
Some people become dependent on these things. Yeah, exactly. It's because of abuse.
But, well, go ahead.
And there's no testing. There's no testing. The feds they won't allow you to use grant funding for actually testing and researching it, which is the same issue with marijuana. Mm-hmm. Recently. Do we have actual testing on marijuana to understand its effects and everything, because there's a law around it?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you think about it, like, our ancestors use this stuff, you know? Like, not because, oh, dude, I'm gonna go smoke a blunt today, I'm gonna go get fucked up. Like, no, let's go do this as a ritual, like, lifestyle. Like, this is our thing, right? And now we have these things where there's structure behind it, and it fucks it up.
that goes back to assimilation.
You
have natives that were doing their traditions, and said, like, that's weird, we don't like that, and so it's bad. So even that's even gone on to today, where you the black or brown people do drugs, and you're like, that's not okay. But
yeah.
You know, as long as you're a white man and you're doing, you know, plain old coke, that's fine.
That's okay.
I'm like going to jail for some coke.
Like, here's some coke, build us a Tesla. Thank you.
Well, yeah, that's like the war on drugs. It attacked the brown people. I mean, yeah, it wasn't white kids that are getting stoned, getting arrested and anything. It's the black and brown people. And at least you live in California, some of you recently,
mm-hmm.
and the laws are a little more progressive to the fact that when they were first giving out licenses for marijuana dispensaries, they were like, they gave priority to people who had criminal offenses from marijuana distribution. They were given like some grant or priority something as a like pre-incarcerated or penalized person who was like dealing marijuana because it's now legal.
Yeah.
So they were given like a retribution in a way.
Hmm.
It's like, okay, well, at least California can do that, because that's literally, I think, the only, if we want to think about giving power back to our indigenous roots and how to do that feasibly in 2020 and beyond, it's going to be in the structure that we have now.
Yeah.
So, you know, as frustrating as that is, I feel like that is where we have the most power
to
fight for our place moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. So going back and backtracking, right,
yeah.
to the Latinx term, we wanted to build this episode in a sense to, like, bring a dialogue to... What are your guys' thoughts, you know? What is everybody's perspective on Latinx? And I remember when we were trying to figure out a name for the podcast, we were thinking about a bunch of, and I have them written down somewhere, but we were just thinking about different names, and I was planning on going with the first name, which is Strong Nation, because that's how we first started. But I'm like, let's have something more, like, it brings it in, like, more of a Latin background in, and we're like, all right, let's be respectful to all, like, you know, not necessarily men and women, but also they, thems, and I don't know, just like different non-binary, like whatever you claim, and just being respectful.
Yeah.
Even though I don't claim or I don't label myself as Latinx, I claim Latina. That's where I go through, and I just overall, I just wanted to be very respectful to those that are non-binary, that are, you know, and that's actually with what this activist was stating, you know, he's like, we're using Latinx in such a, like, loose way,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh, you're Latinx, but Latinx was, in a sense, it came from, like, the LGBT community, did I say that right?
LGBT.
Yeah, LGBT. I say it so fast sometimes, I like,
yeah.
I like slur.
LGBTQIA community. No.
Happy Pride, everybody. I don't know how to pronounce it. but he states, you know, that was one of the reasons why he noticed the term growing, where they wanted to notice not only the Latinos and Latinas, but also, like, the people in, like, different communities, not necessarily just because you're dark skinned or, you know, it's just non-binary. And even though it is sometimes, like, people take it extreme and they're like, we're Latinx. It's like, dude, chill out,
yeah.
Go focus on something else, you know? I think our main focus was because we wanted to be respectful for all around the spectrum.
To everyone,
yes, inclusive.
Yeah. I think that's definitely something that the term does express. But I also think that goes along with LGBTQ people and having that privilege of being supported by the white community and feeling like they can, you know, kind of bandwagon with a group of people that are going to be able to publicize this ideology.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of sense that that's the term that kind of took off, is because they had the buy-in from probably a more privileged community that was able to, you know, help distribute that terminology, give people that language. That's something else I think the article addresses, is being able to learn your native language and to be able to give yourself more language, more opportunity to identify in different ways. Because I think that that's definitely, like, with Latinx, it wasn't until I learned about Latinx that I was like, oh, yeah, I can identify with that. And then as I learned more about Latinx and what that kind of umbrella term is, just like my identity exploration, then I get to learn more about, okay, Chicano, what is that? Oh, yeah. That's like, to me, that's like East LA roots, SoCal, like, that's actually my people. Like, my grandma worked in a bakery in East LA, like, that's the culture that I experienced. So now I was telling my mom the other day that I was identifying more as a Chicana versus a Latina. Like, no, you're a Latina. And I was like, but mom, like, Chicana has that East LA, you know. And she's like, oh, but it doesn't have that good, you don't think of someone, it's the rioters. That's
yes,
what she said.
Because in, like, the 80s and 90s, it was a negative term.
Yeah. It's like, no, that's the rioters. You don't want to be associated with them. And I was like, oh, now, well, honestly.
But why were they rioting in the first place?
I'm ready to riot right now. And then she was like, well, who? And I was like, oh, hey,
that is the Chicana.
So it's so funny that, like, literally we are talking about the same identity, but she, you know, growing up in the 60s, 70s, mostly, she's going to identify with the term that is going to be the more
valued white.
She didn't want to speak Spanish when she was working in predominantly, like, Spanish-speaking schools. It's just so backwards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I even think that her mentality changed, and she, like, found more of, like, an appreciation for her. But even now, feeling that way, she still, you know, doesn't like the term Chicana.
Yeah.
Because associated with the rioters. Even though she herself wants to write.
Yeah.
She doesn't like it because she associates it with the poorer, like, brown community.
Darker skin ones. Which we always grew up to not want to associate with.
Yeah, I mean, we see that in a lot of our parents. Like, I mean, I see that in, like, when Dwayne, you know, he's like, he doesn't want to be a citizen, you know, because he doesn't want to, like, all right, what do I want to be? You know, one little label is going to change who I tell him, like, babe, no, like, you might be a citizen, but it's not going to change who your true roots are, you know?
Yeah.
And I tell my mom the same thing. I tell my sister, my dad, you know, they're very, like, those aren't things that they focus on, you know, but us is, like, I think that we're very privileged because we're able to sit here and talk about this.
Right.
Yeah. My parents aren't going to have time for this. They're like, no, we're going to go to work. Let's go. You know, we got to clean the house. Like, oh,
yeah.
But I'm about to talk on the podcast. We're like, what is that? No. go to school.
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, right. They had, like, what determined Chicana, Chicano, which is another term as well that I've heard, is Chicano X or China. Chicanex.
Chicanex.
I heard that too. You know, it's things that are speaking up to us. But if you say that around, like, if you say that around my mom is going to be like, what?
Get X.
I'm sure, like, you know, 10, 20 years from now, we'll hear younger people coming up with phrases that we not associate with positive vibes, and they're going to be reclaiming it. We'll be like, what? No, that was
gross. Like, you don't understand, mom.
You know, 30 people are called that.
I know.
We're homeless. That's our new identity, is homeless.
Okay.
Okay.
We're called hobos now.
Yeah.
Dirty hobos.
That's funny. Really quick, going back into the episode that I was talking about, the Alaskan indigenous people. What was the name?
Inuit.
Yes. The podcast is called Feeling Weird, and it's episode 75, and it's called Spiritual Abuse. And I really encourage anybody that's going through, like, whether it's identity crisis or just questions, you know, or if you're just intrigued on this topic, I think, like we said even before the episode, we aren't experts on this. I'm not going to school for this. I'm not like. We're just having like a dialogue of just like, what do you guys think? So, you know? And so I think going back to this, and we'll post it on our Instagram, but Feeling Weird, Spiritually Abused is the episode. It was really intriguing. I actually was able, I think it's 45 minutes long, but it just talks about the indigenous people and how they were abused and how it affected them spiritually. And not only like them particularly, but the generations that were coming right behind them and how it affected a lot of the community from that area. And so I know we didn't talk much about this indigenous tribe, but I think it talks a lot about like just things that got pushed on and what related to what we were talking about earlier. So
I know for people who don't know anything about Alaska, it's a very like you said, Carla, like it's very relevant because I feel like it's because it's one of our newer states.
Yeah.
When I lived in Alaska when I was 13, you kind of forget that there are Native people that live there. It's not like you run into all the time. I mean, I had my friends in school thinking that I was like an Eskimo, basically, which is a terrible term and you shouldn't use it.
Yeah.
But Alaska is actually filled with like Koreans and Russians.
Wow.
Which you wouldn't normally think that, but
the Russian makes sense, but I didn't expect Korean.
Russians make sense cool. Because they had it not originally. they colonized it essentially. I remember going to like a Russian cemetery when I was 13, and
wow.
That was weird because I was like, I felt like I was in a different country. I was like, I'm in Alaska and I'm in a Russian cemetery. Why is this happening right now?
Yeah,
I never realized the size of Alaska.
Huh?
The sheer size of Alaska is what
it's
crazy to me.
Huge. Ice. And I lived in Anchorage, which is the biggest city, but not the capital.
Biggest city.
Yeah, it was tiny shit. And all I ever did was go to the movies, and then my mom would take us out on the weekends, and we would go look at, you know, glaciers and fucking
salmon and
shit.
You know what's interesting? I feel like doesn't the Inuit and Native American population have high, like, alcoholism
rates?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I feel like it's because they have so much trauma.
Yeah.
But they were the ones
that
also survived.
Introduced to alcohol by the white people. But anyways, there are a lot of the Inuits and on their, I don't know if they have reservations, but a lot of the Inuits have the same problems that our natives have in the main part of the United States have, but in a different kind of way. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's a different kind of microclimate, but yeah, I would love to listen to that. I think it'd be fucking crazy.
Yeah, I'll have to, I hope I'm right that they're talking about the Inuits. That'd be awkward.
Oh, no.
I mean either way the episode was just so enlightening, talking about because he's interviewing an activist for the indigenous people, and she talks a lot about her roots and her family and her grandmother and the trauma that she has gone through, and then as well the trauma that she inherited. You know, which is sad because it's like trauma is something that we inherited. And and if we aren't aware on, okay, this is trauma, we have to actually like be aware of it. It's like it's still going to live in us. And if I have kids, are they going to have trauma? Probably, because of the way our nation works and the way the trauma I've gone through from my parents, and it just, it's a circle, you know, it's a circle. And so, I mean, overall, the episode was just really, like, mind-blowing how it talks about how they're growing, how they're now transitioning in a way where they're teaching the indigenous people, like, these are your roots. This is, like, this is the, like, this is what your people went through. This is what your grandmother, your mother, your cousins, and everybody, like, in your line of you know, ancestors went through. And so, I mean, it was, I don't even know how I came across their podcast in general, but they speak a lot about, you know, yeah, spiritual abuse. They have, like, different episodes on, like, father trauma, sexual assault. They have, like, really, like, great episodes talking about, like, trauma and how we can overcome a lot of these things, so. But
trauma would be a great conversation to have later, because I think about, like, the whole COVID-19 thing. Like, that's a whole new set of trauma.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, very, very true. I think that's a good one that we'd have to...
That is a good
we'll
idea.
We'll have to, like...
And we mentioned it, too. Like, we want to talk about, like, what this is going to cause in our future. Like, how are we going to react to...
Yeah, like, this is going to be in textbooks, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, years from now. Crazy, but...
Also,
we're
going to make movies, and we're all going to be like,
nah.
Like, it wasn't that bad. I mean, whatever.
We're going to tell our kids, like, so many times. When I was young, I was in quarantine, so you can't... So that means that you can stay home for at least a day.
Like, you can handle not going to the movies with your friends.
Like, Mom, can I see pictures of your graduation? No, I didn't get to graduate. You know, things like that. I was like, damn.
Talk to Mommy about that.
Yeah.
Just, like,
you want to see my graduation? Go to my old room in my house.
I saw some meme that said if people really want a graduation, they can sit out in the snow and wear, like, a sheet over their body and have someone read from the phone book for 3 hours.
True. Well, graduates, congratulations on graduating, by the way.
My heart goes out to them.
Right? Yeah.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
I still did it.
Yeah.
Circumstance is a really shitty song. So you didn't need to hear it. Like, you're not missing anything.
Yeah.
But you did it, though.
You did it.
That's
you did
what
it.
Matters.
I did. Did.
Yeah, but... Well, good talk. Good talk. I don't know if you guys have anything else to say. I mean, I think
we have so much to say.
I know.
I know. We always have so much to say.
We have lots of good ideas.
It's true. I mean, I feel like we're gonna have more and more episodes with you guys.
Yeah, it's just, it's good when you can talk to people.
I know, right?
Every time our mind is blown by something else.
I know, I know. That's why we love having a podcast. And even though sometimes the things aren't accurate, we're like, huh, cool.
Wow.
I'm interested to see what other people have to say about it. Maybe other people have things that they've been thinking about. They want to bring up. Like, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to learn more about stuff. Like,
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely have to post more about it this week. I think that's going to be a good idea on what our posts are going to consist of and kind of our research. And if you guys have good things as well, like, please send them our way. And same with the audience, whoever's listening, please send them our way and let us know what you guys think.
We love hearing from y'all. You know,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, but all right, guys. Well, thank you. We appreciate it. We love hanging out with you guys, having cocktail hour, a.k.a. beer hour.
She's making a heart, a hand heart.
Oh. Love it, love it.
No, I didn't.
All right, guys. Well, keep enjoying your wine, and it's good to see you guys. Oh, we're taking a... I guess we're taking a picture.
How do you take a picture?
Take a picture? Hold on, I'm going to take a picture. Hold on.
Yes.
Am I on it right?
Yeah, it's that white button, I think.
No, we'll look
right here too.
Oh. I don't think that's there's a different way I wanted to take it. I wanted to
A full screen.
Is it? Yeah. Sweet. Oh, there we go. I got it. Smile. Melanie, get in it. Love it.
Nice.
All right, guys. Well, have a good night. I'll probably see you later. So
bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye. Va pues. Vamos.